So let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll read the whole verse to you because it's just that good. But then I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 2 for the duration of service. I just really like to be with you guys to sing to the Lord. I just really like to be with you guys to do Bible study, that's all. I just think it's so good for all of our psyches, our souls, our spirits. For unto us, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us, this is a nation that he's prophesying to that had gone bad. This is a nation that was backslidden. They're on the verge of Assyrian captivity. The days are dark. The days are immoral. Read the first five verses on your own later. Sexual sin, idolatry, immorality have pervaded the land of Israel. They're going to be in bondage. And in the midst of all of this, the Lord turns on the light and the darkness. And he says, through Isaiah, to Israel of old, 700 years before Christ would come, he says, for unto us a child is born. And for you and I this morning, in our generation, we can receive that too. For them then, it was looking ahead. For unto us a child will be born. For us this morning, it's for unto us the child was born. Right? That's the first thought. Then he goes on to say, not just a child is born, but a son is given. That's really pause-worthy. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. For several weeks, starting in the new year, we'll look at that in Revelation. There's a day coming where the kingdom of Christ will touch down and Jesus will reign and rule. I hope that your hearts are encouraged by it. There's a day coming where Jesus Christ will physically rule and reign. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name, the name above all names, we got greater insight than Isaiah had. His name, what's his name, church? Jesus. His name, at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. His name shall be called, the name of Jesus shall be called, Wonderful. Flip it. Full of wonder. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. I'm reading it different in 2020. These attributes are hitting me right now as I'm preaching in front of you. These are hitting me differently than they would have in 2019. He fills me with wonder. I'm not supposed to be preaching that part yet. He's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. That's a good one. He's the everlasting Father. And he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus, we pray that you administer your peace. Your presence, God, is peace. Even when, Lord, we were at enmity with you, even when unbelievers are in this place, their testimony so oftentimes is there's a peace there. And Lord, we know that that's because you're the author of peace, not confusion. You're the author of power and love and the giver of sound minds, not fear. You're opposite of what this culture is mass producing. And Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. And we thank you, God, for this time that we can be gathered together in this sanctuary. My heart was glad, like the psalmist, when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord and worship him. And I believe, Lord, that it blesses you. We pray this morning that you would heal our brothers and our sisters who are sick with COVID and cancer and other things that plague their bodies. Lord, those who are not doing well with this COVID illness, we ask that you would touch them. Strengthen our nurses, strengthen our doctors. Give wisdom to our governor, Lord, our leaders in this nation, our president. But Lord, our eyes are upon you. Ultimately and supremely, God, our eyes are upon you. And it does us well for this short period of time, this first day of the week, to fix our affection on Jesus. So we do that this morning. We take this first part of this verse, Luke's testimony of your birth, and we ask you, Lord, to take what's so familiar to us and use it to revive us, oh Lord. Put a bounce back in our spiritual steps. Lord, whatever the world has done to us, Lord, however much it's drained us, God, we pray that you would renew us in your presence this morning. Fill this place, God, with your Holy Spirit from on high. And it's for Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. I know a lot of you guys already know Luke chapter 2. You've heard it for years, Sunday school, before you're even a Christian. Luke chapter 2, it's a portion of scriptures I read with my family most Christmases. We share from it quite a bit on Christmas Eve. But it's Luke's rendition. It's Luke's rendition of the birth of Jesus. We want to just hang there this morning. For unto us a child is born. Just stay there. For unto us a child is born. And we know that that child is the hope of the world. That child grew to be a sinless man who died for the sins of the world and rose again valiantly and victoriously. It's our hope. It's our hope that anchors our hearts. It's what keeps us from becoming like everybody else out there that is fretting, that is freaking out, that is uncertain, that is paranoid, that is dreading the next day. This child that was born, this son that was given, Jesus. This is the birth story this morning. And it came to pass, verse 1 of Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days. And might I tell you that those days were dark days, just like Isaiah's days and our days. I know everybody thinks about that the time that Jesus was born, the season of Roman history, was this Pax Romana, where there was this great peace. I mean, this is documented by secular historians. They talk about this season of this ability to have this road access and easy transportation and this common language. And I'm sure that there was a lot of good that took place in the season. But this was also a time in Israel's history specifically where the military state was in control. This was a time where you get to live good so long as you don't rebel and you do what we say. This was a time where unemployment was rising and morale was declining. So a day a lot like, in so many of ways, our days and Isaiah's days. And in those days, coming out of the silent years of God to the nation of Israel, these 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, burst forth this scene of a young couple bringing their child into the world. It came to pass in those dark days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed or enrolled. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, verse 3, everyone to his own city. So that will help you when you get to verse 7. And Mary and Joseph are being spoken of, that they come to Bethlehem and there's no place for them, not even in the inn. The reason is all the Roman Empire was demanded, mandated. They had to go to their hometown and participate in this enrollment. The cities were flooded, swollen. The population was greatly increased by this beckoning of this Caesar Augustus. So everybody went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph, verse 4, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called the house of bread, Bethlehem, because he was of the house in lineage of David. He went, it tells us, verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Okay, so you got to understand the scene here. It paints a picture for us. You ladies that had your babies, you ladies, especially that had your first baby, I'm sure if we were to come and interview you, because Luke interviews Mary, just so everybody knows. Luke gets his information from Mary, the mother of Jesus. She would remember these things very vividly. We just celebrated my oldest daughter's birthday last week. And if you asked my wife, what were you doing? You know, the night before your daughter was born, she'll tell you what she was doing. She'll tell you how she was waddling around the mall, last minute shopping, you know, getting what she had to get and trying to walk herself into labor. She was overdue. And she can tell you about that birth experience. She can tell you how many hours she was laboring for her. She could tell you how long it took her to push. You ladies remember those things, right? For me, as painful and difficult as it was, I blur the details with all of the kids. Wait a minute, how long was it? She knows exactly how long it was. If I were to say she was, you know, laboring with Olivia for like 13 hours, she'd go, no, it wasn't 13 hours, it was 16 and a half. Right? Because she was experiencing those contractions and that pain and that discomfort. She knows. Mary is recalling the story for Luke, and she's sharing these details in an interview, no doubt. The Holy Spirit, the information Mary gives, these things are being jotted down. They were mandated by Caesar Augustus to travel 80, 90 miles from Nazareth to his home city of Bethlehem. And looking at the situation in those days, still kind of confused by the detail of her bearing the Son of God. Think about that travel. She's the tabernacle to the Shekinah. They're probably thinking, this is crazy, like we do with our analysis. God, how are you allowing this? I'm pregnant with your son, and now I got to travel all the way on a camel or on a donkey. I got to travel all the way. I got to deal with all of this type of terrain and discomfort just to go, this is crazy, God. Why are you allowing this? Meanwhile, the Lord in glory is saying, this was prophesied 650 years before you guys were even around. And Micah chapter 5, verse 2, when the Holy Spirit had him pen that Bethlehem would be the place where the Savior would be born. Working all these things together, you look at it as a human and you think, God, why are you allowing this? How could this happen? This global pandemic, this national shutdown, Lord, this economic decline, this social distancing, mask-wearing season that is so bizarre. God, what in the world is happening? Lord saying, I'm working everything together. I'm working everything together, just like he was then. Perhaps to their bewilderment, he is today. This was all part of the plan. God is working. What the enemy means to use for evil, God takes and he uses it for good. He's accomplishing his purposes. So they make their way there to be enrolled. I'm sure they didn't see it that way in that travel. She's great with child. She's like super, super pregnant. Super, where that belly is just hanging, it's dropped. She's just ready to go. And they make their way there. And then you have this series in verse 6 and 7 of polysyndeton, where there's a series of ands. It's very specific in the Greek, and it wants you to understand that every descriptive that follows the ands of the scene here is what Mary did herself. In a place in a woman's life where she should be the most taken care of. I mean, the most just whatever you need, however I can help you. It's Mary who did these things herself. 15-year-old, 14-year-old Mary. It says, and so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son. No epidural, no ice chips, no exercise ball to bounce on for those lower back contractions, no nothing. In this cataluma, which was most likely a cave, the birth of Jesus is so much like the burial of Jesus. Mary and Joseph at his death would be, and his burial would be, Joseph and Nicodemus. The swaddling clothes that she's going to lay him in as a baby are the same strips of garment that they used to bury a corpse. In a cave. We got these nativity scenes, these like wood barns with cool vintage wood and cafe light streaming. Not this. If the cataluma was outside of the cave, then more times than not, they were built with just walls, no roof. Maybe that's where this would be, in this enclosure with walls, but no roof, so just the starlit sky is what they see. It tells us that she brings forth her firstborn son. It tells us that Mary, verse 7, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And it says that Mary laid him in a stone feeding trough. That's what a manger is. She laid him in this manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country when this whole thing was happening. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now listen, the Talmud says that these shepherds most likely were the shepherds tending to the sheep that'd be sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. If that be the case, they're tending to lambs that foreshadow the birth of the Lamb of God, who would take away, not cover, the sins of the world. How good is that? So they're abiding in the field. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, verse 9, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. Maybe they thought they were in trouble, because shepherds were crooked back then. Shepherds were notorious. They were known for people who were criminals. They were not allowed to give testimony in the Roman court of law because they were regarded to be liars. They were pickpocketers. They were crooks. They were the type of people that you would see with your family and you bring your kids a little closer and you'd say, hey, there's a bunch of shepherds over there. Watch yourself, honey. Put your purse in front of you. Keep it tight to your chest. Make sure it's zipped here. You know, there's shepherds around. They were ceremonially unclean. Do you know these things? Ceremonially unclean. Because of the animals that they worked with, they were not allowed to go to the temple. And because they were not allowed to go to the temple, they can never get clean from being unclean from the animals that they worked with. So they were in a predicament of always being ceremonially uncleaned. So they're over there in the field minding their business, and an angel shows up. They're probably thinking, oh, geez, we are found out. We're in trouble, because the first thing that the angel is going to say to them is something he's going to say to us too. But the first thing that he's going to say to them is, fear not. And then the gospel is going to be given to crooks first. You figure that one out. That is how Jesus Christ works. That's what he does. He entrusts the good news of the gospel to shepherds. He doesn't go to the religious leaders. He doesn't go to Annas' house or Caiaphas' house. He goes to shepherds in a field tending to their flock by night, because he's the good shepherd. He's going to be regarded as the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. That's who he is. And he entrusts this message with an angel, a messenger, to a group of people that the world would say they're the offscouring of the earth. These are the least of these. These are those who belong in the gutter. These are those who the angel comes to first. I want that to encourage you this morning. That's our God. That's how our God works. That's how our God operates. It messes religious people up. They don't know what to do with it. Born in a manger, you're the son of God, not a palace, not in Caesar's house, not in a royal family, not in at least a middle upper class family, but a family of poverty where your father is a carpenter, most likely a mason stone worker. You're going to be born into a home where you have to have bunk beds till you're 18 because you got multiple brothers and multiple sisters. You're going to be called a bastard, a fatherless, because everyone's going to say this was an illegitimate birth. Your dad's going to die, your earthly father, before you're a man. You're going to have to take your mom all the way to your death. You have to take care of her and your siblings. This is what you're born into. And the Lord says, yes, I descended as low as a human can go. I was put in a feeding trough. That was my bassinet. So no man can say that he was lower than me. I delivered the news of my birth. You guys know how it goes when your baby is born. Nowadays with social media, it's changed. But you used to send out a picture or some type of birth announcement. My birth announcement, heaven's been waiting to make it, goes to shepherds first. And they're like, oh no. What do we do? What are we in trouble for? Why are you here? And the angel says three things in verse 10 that he says to everybody here today. And it all goes back to, for unto us a child is born. It all goes back to, for unto us a child has been born. And because that child was born, there are three things in verse 10 that God says to you and I today, because it's unto us. It's right now in the present. He's been born. So because of these truths that we're reading of this morning, the angel's words resound, and they speak to our hearts. The angel says in verse 10, number one, fear not. He says, fear not in verse 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings, number two, of great joy. And he says this thirdly in verse 10, which shall be to all people. So listen, here's what he's saying to us. Unto us a child is born, and because he's born, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be filled with anxiety. We don't have to be filled with these fretful thoughts. There can be this peace that belongs to us because this child's been born, because the Son of God is alive and powerful, and he is faithful to complete the promises of his word. Man, fear is bondage. Fear is bondage. And there is this era of fear that we are just surrounded by right now. And it is being propagated by the media, by social media, by the culture. I mean, there's just constant fear alerts, fear alerts, fear alerts. And we got to get our eyes off of everything out there, at least for right now, and set our eyes on this child that was born. And because he was born, he's the hope of the world because of what he grew to be and what he accomplished in his dying and in his resurrecting. All of these truths are what anchor our hearts so that no matter what happens out there, there's not fear that dominates us. Should we be cautious? Should we be aware? Of course. Should we be educated? Certainly. But we don't have to fear like those who don't know the truth. The birth of Christ, for unto us a child has been born. For unto us a child has been born. And the Lord says, through his word, you and I today, you don't have to be afraid. Regardless of if there's a global pandemic or not, it's just relative right now. Just in general, there's these endorphins that are released when we're worked up into this fretful state of fear. And we get addicted to being afraid. And the Lord says, you don't need to be that way. You don't got to sit there with your channel changer and your phone out and just watch every news channel. And listen to every reporter and every tweet and take it so literal and think that that's the final say. I'm the final say. Fear not. Unto you a child's been born. That's what Christmas season's all about. Like, let's just go back to it this morning. The child has been born. He came. If he didn't come, then it's different. If he never came, I got nothing to share with you. But because he came, because he was born, right now this morning, the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Fear not. Fear not. He says, man, I got a message for you, and it's a message of joy. Jesus wants you to have joy. Joy is despite circumstances. Happiness is conditional. Happiness is what the world is constantly chasing, and it's really hard to have because circumstances are always evolving and turning differently than what we maybe anticipate. But listen, the Lord says to his bride this morning, whether you're being, you know, somebody who's streaming this service or in this sanctuary, I want you to have this constant joy, this constant attribute of my peace flowing through you that settles your heart, that gives you joy despite what happens with the vaccine, despite what happens with the president, despite what happens in the Middle East, despite what happens, you know, with the economy, with your retirement, with schools and sports, and all these variables that are subject to changing. They're going to change. Nobody knows everything in this world. There is a God, and then there's everybody else. And what we see around us is everybody else. One day it's this, one day it's that. It's frustrating. It's exasperating. But the Lord says, don't put your stock in all of those things for what brings you this contentment, because joy is a source of contentment. Let your joy come from Jesus, for unto us a child's been born. So no matter what happens in this world, things get worse, things get better, whatever it is that happens, it doesn't matter because your joy is in Jesus, the one who was born to give you life. Think it through for just a minute. Think it through. No matter what happens here, this is not your final resting place. Your eternity is secured in Jesus. Your hope is in heaven. It's a reality to you. It's your future. It's your hope. So this should not shake us the way that it shakes those who do not have hope. And listen, we are to have a biblical worldview. So you should be looking at the current events and the world around us this Christmas season through the lens of Scripture. You're not hanging on the word of every news anchor. Stop doing it. You're not hanging on the word of every tweet. You're not. You're hanging on the word of God. You have a joy in Jesus. Listen to me. Let me boost your faith. Do you understand this morning? Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his first coming. Just go do your own research. Do you understand probability for one man to fulfill even 8 of those things if you want to argue and dispute that there were actually 300? Let's just take 8. Do you understand for one man to fulfill 8 of these prophecies, the probability of that is taking a state like Texas, lining the whole state with 2 feet of silver dollars, marking just one silver dollar, dropping somebody down into the state of Texas, say, good luck, you find that marked coin, then you win the game. That's the probability of one man fulfilling the type of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. You have every reason to put your eggs all in this basket. You've got every reason to hang on his words. Because unto you a child has been born. He's been born. He fulfilled what the scripture said that he would do in his first coming. He was born of a virgin, prophecy. He was born in Bethlehem, prophecy. He came riding in on a donkey, prophecy. He rose from the grave, prophecy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Your Bible, a third of it is predictive in nature. And he's been faithful all the way through to fulfill. So that's why you should. You don't have to look at the world and say, I don't know what's Iran going to do. Does China own us? Are we? What's going to happen there? What about the Middle East? What is President-elect going to do? It doesn't matter. They can't alter his plans. The Bible told you how this thing's going to go. And if we're going to be biblical this morning, it actually has to get worse before it gets better. It doesn't matter if it gets worse. It doesn't matter if it gets better. It just matters that our hope is in him. That's what gives you joy. That's what gives us joy. The angel says, I think this is such a timely word. The angel says, stop fearing. The angel says, have joy. You want to be a witness to this lost world? Have joy. Nothing's a worse witness to the world than a miserable Christian. So before you go out of your house, tell your face you're a Christian. Before you go lunch break, tell your face that you're a Christian. And let Jesus shine through. It's attractive to a world that's despairing. It is for all people. It's for all people. It's for all people. There's one human race. We all came from Adam and Eve. Period. After the flood, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Noah's boys. We all came from these families. The color of our skin does not mean that we are a different race. We are all made in God's image. We are all the human race. And the hope for dark skin colored, yellow skin colored, white skin colored, freckled colored, non-freckled. Listen, no matter what it is that our pigmentation looks like, the hope is the same for everybody. And it's for everybody. So give out Jesus to as many people as possible. That's the point here. It's for all people, he says. This is for everybody, because unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The English ruins it. In the Greek, there are no articles. It is simply read like this. Unto you this day is born Savior, Christ, Lord. That's good. Savior, Christ, Lord. He's the Savior. He's your helper. He's your rescuer. He's God's provision for humans predicament. That's who he is. He's the Savior. And in order for him to be the Savior, Jehovah had to put on human skin. He never rid himself of his deity. He added to his deity humanity. He's the God-man. He's the only one that can save. You can't save another sinner because you're a sinner. I can't save another sinner because I'm a sinner. God came, put on human flesh, human skin, never ridding himself of his deity, added on humanity. That's kenosis. He entered into it. He put this on to never be put off again because he loves us that much, and he's our Savior. He's also the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the anointed one, and he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the great I am. That's who he is. That's who your God is this morning. That's the birth that you are celebrating. Unto us, a child is born. The child is the Savior, the child is the Christ, and the child is the Lord. And this shall be, in the language, it's definite article, the sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But here's the sign, lying in a manger, because nobody puts their baby in a stone bassinet. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Multitude is myriads. It's tens of thousands and thousands. What a church service. In the fields, with the most unlikely people, I picture pirates, just non-religious looking people. Business as usual, man, the heavens opened and angels descend. And you know what's crazy? They're praising God like they're the ones who are going to be saved, and they're not. Angels can't be saved. Humans get saved. If they praised God over the announcement of unto us a child is born, how much more should we praise God? Myriads of angels join this messenger. And they start blessing the Lord and saying, glory to God, verse 14, in the highest. Here's the message again, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. He's describing here when he says the highest place, it's an actual, like, above. Glory to God above, glory to God in heaven, glory to God in the dwelling place of God. So, like, glory to the Father. Heaven is erupting in praise. The myriads of angels in the shepherd's field are erupting in praise. And the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest, the Father, for giving his son. That's next Sunday. We're the receiving end. Unto us a child is born. But the angels are saying, you don't understand the cost. Glory to God in the highest who gave his son so that we can receive the life that they had in glory with the Father. Glory to God in the highest. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, it's ascended and faded. Imagine the scene. Worship and praise and harps and clapping. And all of a sudden, they ascend back to glory and they fade. And it says, as they were gone, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which came to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Aren't you thankful this morning that Jesus has made this known to you? I know you've known it. I know you've known about the birth of Christ even before you were a believer in Christ. That's the interesting thing of our nation. Think about the Christmas carols that we sing. I mean, I watch people who are complete heathens on ABC specials and other places during this Christmas season sing songs like Silent Night, and they're pagan. And they do it because why? Because there's this age-old understanding in our nation of the validity of Scripture. That's why. And they sing these things. Even before you come to Christ, you sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin, mother and child. That's all biblical truth. The world sings these songs. Oh, Holy Night. You think through all of our Christmas carols, but you know it's altogether different when Jesus saves you and the scales fall off your spiritual eyes. You read Luke chapter 2 differently. And there should be this humility. Thank you, God, for making this, the birth of the Savior, known to me. Everyone should have this shepherdish-like response. Like, who am I? I was a wretch that you saved. That should be every single person's heartbeat right now. They're like, man, we got to go and we got to see this thing which God has graciously made known to us. I know that's how I feel. And they came with haste, verse 16, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe, the Lamb of God, lying in a manger. That's the sign. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But look what Mary tells Luke to write. Mary's 14, 15 years old at the time. And she says, but Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Luke, me and Joseph were there. Kataluma. No room as the city was swollen with people. Our baby was lying in the manger. I'm trying to process. All my girlfriends say they think their son's like God. My son really is God. The shepherds come. They looked, their countenance was different. We knew they weren't just your average shepherd. They were glowing. They were filled with elation. Luke, at the time, I didn't know what to think. I had the message from Gabriel. Joseph had it too. All I could do was just ponder in my heart. It is so good. It's a lost art in the American culture by large to just stop into hustle and bustle and craziness and just ponder in your heart the magnificence of just simply this, for unto you a child was born. That's why I call my message today Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Because I just feel like glory to God in the highest. Everybody is so, I got to get zinc, I got to get vitamin C, vitamin D. No, you don't. You got to go ponder in your heart right now. Christ was born. Sit with it. Sit with it. Christ was born. She said, I couldn't even speak. And the shepherds returned, verse 20, glorifying and praising God. For what? For all the things they seen and heard as it was told unto them. Listen, there's a day coming. I'm banking my life on it. There's a day coming where we're going to get there to glory. And our testimony to each other is going to be, this is exactly as it were told to us. Do you know that? As humans, there's doubt sometimes. What if the Bible, you know, how do I know for sure the canon of Scripture and 66 books and 40 authors over 1,500 years of 3 continents? And how do I know there wasn't from the English, the King James, the translation? Listen, there's going to be a day when we get there. And we're going to be like the shepherds, giddy as can be. And it's going to be a thing of, he told us exactly how it was going to go. And we are going to be dancing and jumping for joy. There's a day coming of that. In the meantime, we're to do what the shepherds did. We're to go and tell, that's the last part of this message. Unto us a child's born. That's not just a caption for your family picture and your matching pajamas. It's cute, but that's not what it's for. That is for you to pronounce and share with the world. Okay? You're not a COVID expert. Everyone's got to chill. No, none of us are COVID experts. Do the masks work? Don't they work? 16 feet? How long am I immune? Who cares? You got a better message than all of that. Go tell the world about the child that was born. You know what I'm saying? Like, go tell the world, because people are obviously not filling up the seats right now in record numbers. So you got opportunity to do. Do you know? Let me give you one more breakdown. The angel evangelized. That's the word in the Greek for the good news that he gave to the shepherds. He evangelized the shepherds, but then they were gone. They went back up, and the gospel was now commissioned to crooks. They were on their own. All they needed, apparently, was this glimpse of the glory of God. And repeat what you heard from heaven and give it out to everybody else that's around you. That's what the Lord wants you to do with this great message of unto us a child's been born. Tell the world about it. when everybody is, every conversation is about COVID and politics. It always goes back to that somehow. You got something better to talk about. Y'all, unto us, a child was born. And it's easier for us to propagate this message because it's an event in human history that everything that we do, the year, for goodness sakes, is based upon. Everything is based on the birth and death of Jesus. The whole Christmas season is. You can use Christmas carols as a testimony of this truth. Unto us a child's born. The Bible told us there's going to be dark days. Why are you so like, I can't believe the evil's good and good's evil? Isaiah said it would happen. Why are you so like, man, look at the wars and this and that. The Bible said it was going to happen. Unto us a child's born, though. And then flip the switch and give it to him. Flip the switch and then give it to him. Unto us a child's born. You don't got to fear. Unto us a child's born. Have joy. Unto us a child's born. He's for all people. Unto us a child is born. Don't be greedy. It is more blessed, Jesus says, to give than to receive. Father, help us this morning to leave here with a bounce in our spiritual step. Help us, Lord, to be able to catch our breath. God, we are so bombarded. We are so surrounded by so much nonsense. So many troubling thoughts, God. So many question marks. Help us to leave here, God, revived. Turn our mourning into dancing. Extremes in the desert, God. You've given us drink this morning. Like wanderers in the wilderness, you gave us our daily bread. You gave us our angels' food, our manna from heaven. You've given us our sustenance. You've been faithful like you were to Israel of old. Our shoes haven't worn out. You've been faithful, God. You've seen us through. You've seen the church through all of the seasons of human history. You're not going to deny yourself, even if we're faithless. So strengthen us today, God. Revive us, God. Let your word penetrate the depths of us. Our hearts have become hardened. Our hearts have become calloused and indifferent. Separation from each other is not good for our spirits, our souls. God, we need one another. And we've been separated. We're not able to embrace God and do the things that even your word testifies of how good it is for us. So, Lord, in this season of loneliness, in this season of depression, in this season of anxiety, as the year closes as dark as it started, God, help our eyes to be fixed on you, the child that was born. Thank you, Jesus, for putting on human skin and entering into time, space, and matter, being confined to the things that we're confined to. Thank you that you were tempted in all points as we are. But more so, thank you that you never gave in to sin so that you could be our sin sacrifice. Thank you for living so that you can die. Thank you that you died so that you can rise. Thank you that you rose again, and one day you're coming to get us, to receive us unto yourself. Until that day, Jesus, keep us faithful. Fill our cups, fill our lampstands with the oil of gladness so that we blaze brightly for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's in Jesus' name that everybody at Second Service said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's stand and sing one more to him.